This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bring in TK. TK, is Chris Webber the king?
I think so.
You know who people always bring up when you talk about the king? No. The other
white
one.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Well, that's... That's... I love Chris because I've loved Chris since Michigan, but 55, that's my boy.
He might be. He's one of the most recognizable, like when I talk to people or in meeting people, oh, Sacramento, yeah, oh, man, Chris and Jay Will, yeah. And like, that's crazy.
Jay Will was here for like a year and a half.
Right.
One of the first non-Blazer jerseys I ever wore as a kid was Jay Will.
Jay Will, I was wearing the Jay Will the other day. That's my boy right there. Mm-hmm. If they do a Weber statue, though, it's got to be. I think we've talked about this. It's got to be him with his arms out,
with the people hanging over the.
Yeah. You got it. That's it. Weber on the back. All this other stuff.
That's a tough statue. You can't even. Though. I don't know how you do that because you got the balconies. Unless it's just him with his hands
up. It could just
up,
be him
with the confetti on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could just be him. Move Piglet out of.
Did
the
you
way.
See? I know you did. What'd you? What'd you think of Dwayne Wade's statue?
What are we doing? Like, we know, and maybe it's just like bronze is really hard to do, but Ed Reed's statue was incredible.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It looks just like Ed Reed. So we know, number one, bronze isn't impossible to get a realistic portrait of somebody. Number two, black and brown folks can be depicted accurately in a sculpture. Mm-hmm. Number three, everyone else but Ed Reed is getting done wrong. Mm-hmm. There's Cristiano Ronaldo done wrong. Like, it's just and for Dwayne Wade, what a nice guy to be like, if it needed to look like me, I would have just stood outside the arena and just been like, hey, no, that's not what a stat. I don't think you grasp. This isn't like Picasso, you know? This isn't like Van Gogh, where it's like sort of an interpretation of Dwayne Wade, like the mind, like the abstract version. No, this is supposed to be D-Wade.
My interpretation of Dwayne Wade is hilarious.
Oh, man.
I don't think that was what you got commissioned to do, my G. We gave you the photo. Make that look exactly like the statue.
That's it. That's all you had to do. And it was right there for you. Now, the statue is dope. Like, the moment and all this other stuff. Like, him when he said, this is my house. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. All you had to do was get the face correct. That's all you had to do.
That's kind of the critical piece, actually. And I saw a photo with him looking at it in the workshop on, like, a spike, like, just the head. And he didn't. He had the chance to say something. Hey, that doesn't look anything like me at all. Like, melt this thing back down to oblivion. I know.
Start over.
I should be involved along the way. You know.
Does Dame get a statue in Portland?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Does Clyde have one? I'm sorry. Does Clyde have one?
No, I don't think so. Hmm. Not that I know.
Are there any statues there?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so.
Well, Dame might not get one then. But you're maybe right. It's Dame time.
It's Dame time. But the bye is really everything for us. Everything.
Okay. You can't give it. That was a great moment.
It really was everything.
It's fine. It was a fine moment.
What?
It was my boy.
It was against Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. The honor of the gift. Just like getting free tees and just holding his water, probably saying he's playing great for Denver.
Oh, that's what we're doing? Oh, we're doing that? Okay.
I know you pay for those teas. I know you pay for those teas.
Oh, no, you've already started a rumor. It's out there now.
Nobody listened to my dumb ass, okay? Like, nobody. I'm just clowning around, and everybody in the chatty house, don't take me seriously. Dame's about his business. He is an integrous creature.
Mm.
Is there any statues? I forget who said integrous. I forget who it was, where I was like, that's not a word.
I don't think that it is, but.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I forget what celebrity said that.
Sounds like Charles Barkley.
Well,
something like that.
But, is there any statues in front of Jerry's World?
I haven't been there.
I don't think there are.
Been there in like maybe 8 or 9 years. No.
I don't think we have one. They have the catch in front of Levi's, Montana and Clark. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they got helmets on, so you don't really see their face. But it's a cool little something to have. It's kind of odd because they're separated. Like, you're way over here, you see Joe Montana with his hands up. And then you get way over here, and you see, oh, there's Dwight Clark, and you kind of forget they're connected. But it's cool. It's whatever.
Kobe obviously has his statue. That came out well.
You know what they did, and they did wrong?
Other than the typos.
At Levi's, is they put all the statues in the museum. So that's Jerry Rice has a statue, and it's in this museum that you got to pay to go into.
The catch isn't outside?
The catch is the only one I think is outside.
Okay.
The rest of them, Jerry Rice, the one after he, you know, the Monday Night Football when he had his hands up or something. Or no, that was a playoff game. Either way, it's inside. Like, what are you guys doing?
Hmm. No, they probably don't own the real estate to put it outside.
I was so pissed off.
Crappy ass venue.
When I went out there, I said, this is, it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, this is ridiculous. What the hell?
You decided to take the drive?
I took the drive. I had done it before. I've done it before, but I don't know why it pissed me off this time. But I was just driving up. And I always defend the actual stadium. Like, once you get on the grounds, I think it's pretty cool. Like, it's a good place. It's 49er land. Like, the stadium has actually got a vibe on the inside. The fans are loud. Like, it's cool. But I'm driving up, and I said, Jed York, you dweeb. Who came out here and said, this is where I want my stadium? This is great.
Terrible.
No, this is a perfect place. Idiot.
It's so in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere.
Just nowhere. Like, there's just nothing. The only reason you go there is just to go to that game.
That really makes
it hard to really just make an impromptu popover situation.
Facts.
There's a couple of teams in the NBA getting off to sketchy starts. We talked about a couple of them. The Bucks being one, the Pacers being another. Any of those you think are legit and stick around for the season?
I mean, Hallie concerns me, but I think they are more primed because they have much deeper team. I like the ownership group. I like Rick Carlisle. I think he's a good coach. I think he knows how to use everybody there. And, like, you've got a lot of dudes. Like, Ben Mathurin's coming back from injury. Like, he's a bucket. Like, you got a lot of guys. Like, you have depth at every single position. And when they play free, fun basketball, they're really hard to beat, right? Like, they'll score 130 on your head. Like, I'm very concerned. I literally just finished recording tomorrow's episode of Heat Check. And like, have you ever, like, gone to a restaurant and got your meal, got your plate, and you're like, I don't even need to take a bite of this. Like, I know this is bad. Like, I know something, like, things are really off. Like, every part of this composition of the plate.
It's moving. Off. I'm not eating that.
That chicken's gray. You know, like, those
chicken
vegetables
is gray.
Are gold. The chicken's gray. The veggies are, like, look real mushy. I'm not tasting that. I don't even need to taste it to know. Send it back.
Mm-hmm.
Start again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Milwaukee Bucks. I cannot trust the chef. He's awful. Just Doc Rivers, no. Hiring Darvin Ham, super no. Do you know Taurean Prince is leading the team in minutes? What? Are you kidding me? And now I'm hearing whispers that it's like a very open well-known secret that Dame and Giannis are like oil and water.
Ooh.
That they both very ball dominant and are struggling with who should be getting the ball when. Both become superstars based on having the ball in their hands. Now you're getting veiled shots from both of them about one another. You got Dame saying, hey, you know, we got to learn to hold each other accountable. And that's not screaming at each other the whole time. That's saying what's going on, openly communicating at all times. And then you've got Giannis being like, we don't have an identity. Are we even going to play defense for 48 minutes? Are we going to share the rock and move it around for 48 minutes? We have no identity. That is the most subtle sneak diss from both that you could. I don't get it. It's not working.
Can I ask you something real quick? How much are
am
you?
Am I enjoying?
Yes, thank you. Yes, okay, thank you. Thank you.
We got Dame talking about, I mean, you know, we gotta play better, you know, and I think about myself, like, if I was a power forward, I probably wouldn't get the ball and dribble up.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Like, you got guys who will not take accountability anywhere, right? And, like, meanwhile, you got Brook Lopez kind of at the tail end of his career. He's like, I don't know. I can't do everything. Like, offensive rebounding's way down. Defense, they're 26th in the league. Chris Middleton, ankle, knee, just name one every year. That's how it is. Bobby Portis, he's getting into fights with folks. It's the same thing over and over. And Doc's just like, yeah, you know, we played eight guys because, like, we don't have a bench and none of them are good. They're all garbage. So, you know, that's why I did that. And you're like,
well, I mean, look at the roster. I just can't go play everybody. I mean, what do you want me to do? So here's why I don't like this.
Wait, what part? This is fantastic. This is drama.
No, it's good, but you guys are both gonna understand. You know who's been circling the waters for a while.
And Golden State.
We don't like that. We don't
like that.
Golden
State.
And they're just waiting to pounce.
What assets do they have?
Draymond Green, ma'am.
Well, look, I don't think they do, but what would they got all their picks? They got Pods. They got Kuminga. Do you think
and
Milwaukee
could
do?
They've done a great job of telling everyone how great Pods is. They built him up.
Do you think that Milwaukee could do better than Kuminga in a trade for Giannis?
Yeah.
I think they could too, but I got to be honest. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know who that is. Kuminga's probably a 20-point-per-game scorer.
Is that Bam? Because, like, maybe.
Are they trying to build, rebuild? Yeah. Like, are they trying to, like, tear everything down? Are they keeping Dame? Like, I feel like there's a lot of
Dame
questions.
Because
if you're keeping Dame, I think you're looking at Bam if you could do that.
I would trade. I would tear it down, trade Dame to Miami, and see what I could get from Miami.
Hmm.
Oh, baby, if you thought what Miami did to Portland was bad. Just wait until what we've seen from Dame, where he's not averaging 35 points per game anymore at the peak of his powers. This is like decline Dame. This is sad eyes Dame. This is post-divorce Dame. This is already moved teams one time.
Oh, no.
This is already moved one teams one time Dame.
Post-divorce.
Like, sorry, Dame. In holy matrimony. So, like, the leverage, you don't have any leverage now. What are you trading them for? You have to basically say, oh, we're not keeping Giannis, because there's nothing you can get for Giannis that's going to make him feel good.
Yeah, so he's Giannis and Dame. In that scenario, I'm trading both of them. And I'm tearing it down. Like, I'm done. We got our championship. We had our run. Now it's time to see if we can rebuild. And I would not be able to handle it if Giannis went to the Warriors. I would not be.
I might just go to KSFM. I might just do the hip hop station and
I would
like
not
make Instagram me. Videos. I'm just leaving.
Like, Mom, what do you think about Canada?
Yeah, Giannis is here. I'm out. I'm just leaving the whole industry.
Yeah, like, this is D D'Lo and KC in Vancouver, Canada.
You know, one time I went to Vancouver, Washington. Went to Vancouver, Washington one time. Basketball tournament.
Okay.
Didn't make it all the way up to Canada.
Cold?
I was it was like April, so it was.
It's literally in Portland. It's literally Portland.
I've only been to Portland once, and it was for a day.
Wow.
Same. That's it.
Same.
Tough.
I got to get up there. Tough Sorry, Trista, for tagging you, but you know, it's all love. It's a sign of respect when I tag you in one of the post-game videos.
So have you done that video multiple times, or do you use the same one over?
Oh, no, it's the same video. I put different tags on
it. Have you ever seen the football one? The football one is extra special because if you look closely, you'll see the hoodie that he's wearing had to get digitized because of recent scandals.
Oh, no.
But you don't even have to squint to see what cursive writing it is.
It's just, you know, I had to get that out of there.
John?
Well, we don't use those terms anymore, but it is.
SJ?
Yeah, I had to get that out of there. Shout out to my guy, John Bull. He made it happen. But, yeah. But there may be new videos coming.
We're working on that. Yeah, we're working on that.
New videos of you?
Yeah, same premise, but a new.
Got it.
You know, partner maybe.
New partner.
Nice. Yeah. I love that.
Phoenix and LA both 3-1. We saw Phoenix beat LA last night. I think we've already seen LA beat Phoenix. That's the second time they played, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You buying either one of those teams at that clip?
Yeah, I think I'm buying the Lakers.
Are you really?
I think I am, man. It's really tough for me to even say. Because, like, as much joy as I feel from the Milwaukee Bucks struggling, that's how much pain I feel with the Lakers' competency. Not just competent, though, like fun. That offense is fun. It's the first time we've seen really a LeBron offense in LA that I enjoyed watching. Everybody's moving at all times. D'Angelo Russell is finding ways to be effective. Anthony Davis is like the fulcrum of the offense. They're getting easy looks. Not only are they playing good defense, like they just look locked in. And JJ looks like he cares a lot. You know, his brilliance from an X's and O's standpoint, I kind of was like going to poo-poo. Like, what does he really know with these, like, what was it? Finland, XO370, you know, like with Mind the Game podcast. And it's like all these names none of us know. But he's really good at scheming. Really good. There was one play that he had 1 second left on the shot clock. And he called a timeout that got Gabe Vincent, shout out to Gabe Vincent, open for an easy corner three, splash. Just a sicko. I really kind of think that this might be a sustainable thing for them, considering that it's not like a lot of iso ball that we've seen from the Lakers before.
Yeah,
he cutting up too.
Yeah. JJ's looked good as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
JJ looked really good. We got our jokes off over the summer, or I did or whatever, but he looks like he just know what he's doing. It looks like those guys believe in the things that he's preaching, and he looks good as a coach, man. So far, so good. And I don't know if they're going to be like a top six team or not, but I don't see any reason to believe why his approach to basketball and that offense would change. He might be a pretty good coach.
Mm.
And I also think what we don't really consider enough is the accountability that the coach will take on themselves when they don't win games, and also like how much they care in game and how much they make adjustments. He has all three of those. Darvin Ham had none of those. Like he was never holding himself accountable. Remember, he was like, how can I play certain guys when they go 10 game stretches with S-ing the bed? What?
All right, that's
what did
not
he say? I thought that was like us NBA Centel. No, like he really said that. he would be on the sideline on the sidelines with his hands in his pockets, doing nothing, no adjustments, no rotations, no changes, nothing except for the fact that he kept changing the starting five, even though we knew what the best starting five was. So no accountability, no care, no brilliance from a scheme perspective, no leadership. Guys tuned him out. So I think JJ, you see the first loss, and he's like, this loss was on me. I didn't say we need to stop Kevin Durant, call a timeout, and figure that out faster. And on top of that, like, we can't score 14 points in one quarter. I need to get guys better looks. Like, it's my job to create an offense that gets them easier shots.
You mentioned the next Heat Check podcast that is on the way out without mentioning the Heat Check podcast that is out right now. You told us about it last week. I think it's the longest podcast you've ever done, but you previewed the whole thing in talking about the WNBA with us last week. And it's a really good podcast that I saw, as you posted, gained a lot of traction throughout those who support the W. And the whole premise of it is the idea that this league doesn't make money is starting to feel a bit foolish. As Emma agrees, like, this is ridiculous to think that the W doesn't make money. Meanwhile, TK, we're seeing coaches all over the league get fired, including ones that I actually thought were pretty good, like Stephanie White. We saw Christy Sides get fired. I think a total of 7 WNBA coaches have been fired this season/offseason. What is going on?
I think what you make of that is that clearly teams are caring more, right? Like, they want to find the right team for their personnel. So I think Stephanie White probably goes to the Fever. I've heard rumors of her being the head coach, Lisa Bluter, the former Iowa coach, being on her staff, and Cheryl Miller also being on her staff, which I think would be fire. Those are all big supporters of Caitlin. They want to run an offense around her. I think there's been some mediocrity at the coaching level. And I think on top of that, what I didn't realize until I spoke to a WNBA agent about this is, like, the WNBA, their head coaches kind of run the team in terms of, like, being a GM as well. So you kind of have to have somebody who knows how to do both, not just maximize what players you have, but maximize getting those players, keeping those players as well. So I think that's a piece of it. But, like, what is really bothering me is how I had on when the leading economist for women's sports, and he has dug in more than anyone has ever dug in, so much so that he's written a book about the profitability of the W. Wrote for Forbes for many years about all sports, NBA included. And as he was writing for Forbes, every time he wrote anything about the W, the NBA came to all the Forbes writers and make sure you let everyone know in your article that the WNBA is losing money. That's strange. So I have him on. He is convinced that the WNBA not only is profitable now, but has been profitable, considering that $50 million in charter money just popped up out of nowhere as soon as they needed it. And they still want to float out that they're losing money. So what's pissing me off is that people still want to just say, oh, the W is definitely losing money because I read one thing one time and it's just been circulating around. And so you, Trista, you don't have any evidence that they're making money. And it's like, well, nobody has any evidence that they're losing money either. But what we do know is that the Liberty are worth $200 million now. And they were worth $10 million 5 years ago when they bought the team, when the Size bought the team from James Dolan. So if the losses are increasing by 5X, which is from $10 million in 2018 to $50 million, what the New York Post said, in 2024, losses up 5X, but the team value is up 20X. Make that math make sense to me. So it's kind of crazy to me that people don't really understand how leagues operate as an organization that wants to keep their labor as cheap as possible, just like any business. And there's a lot of companies that make the math turn out that they are a losing investment or a losing corporation for tax reasons, for labor negotiation reasons. And just because the accounting allows you to do that doesn't mean that that's actually real. And that does not mean that we should then project how we feel about the W based on what is a lie.
Nah, man, we broke that down, and I was just thinking back to the conversation that we had about this, and I agree with Dame. I agree with you. I think these players are going to force their hand in this year, and because I think they're willing. They have options, regardless of whether they like to do it or not. But they have options. They can go overseas and play basketball if that's what they really need to do.
But not all of them can.
Not all of them. But there's enough, and I think they would get the word out to say, hey, we'll strike because this is what's best for us. If we don't do it now, we may not ever have the opportunity and have this leverage. And I think those owners, I think this is the time where they feel it. They wouldn't let them strike because you would find out there's too much money on the table.
Well,
that we can't let that
this
happen.
This would be the blackest mark on Adam Silver's resume if this happens. Mm. And no matter how much Adam is like, no, we've got our own structure. Everyone knows in the end, like, Adam Silver is directly involved in this. Mm. If the W strike, it would be catastrophic for the league, and it would be a massive, massive black mark on Adam Silver's record, which is damn near spotless at this point. Mm. This would change my thinking of him if he allowed this to happen.
Mm.
The more I peel back the onion on this, the more people I talk to about this, the more I read about this, the less respect that I have for the NBA as a whole on this topic specifically. And team presidents, I have a friend of mine who did a documentary on the WNBA, and she told me along the way, the NBA made things extremely difficult for them to tell any story about the WNBA that wasn't controlled by the NBA and was changing rate sheets and call times and all this stuff, so much so that one of the top leaders of the WNBA PA had to get involved, step in, and really the WNBA presidents, not the owners, but the presidents want to pay their players more. They want to be open and transparent because there's the vested interest into doing that. But there's no vested interest from the NBA side. And there's definitely no vested interest from the WNBA owners side. So it's fascinating to me. And what really is also bothering me too is, like, I know that this doesn't really connect maybe to certain people, but to me it does, which is, like, I don't know if you saw what Shaq did to Angel Reese and what he said to her on her podcast about how basically the start of it was essentially that the WNBA is not compelling as it is right now and that changes need to be made to the structure of the league, which I think is BS. One of the things that he thinks you should do is lower the rim.
That's the old man idiotic take.
And that more men would be interested in that sport if Angel Reese, just picture you, Angel, in those booty shorts you wore on Wildin' Out, dunking.
The fact that Shaq hasn't been canceled after all of these years is kind of amazing.
That was so disrespectful.
But, like, it's not just disrespectful as, like, a guy to say to a woman that plays basketball, like, to the integrity of the game, which is like, we don't care about your little silly game unless we can sexualize you in the process. But number two, like, this is a guy who said he was like her father. Mm-hmm. He's known her since she was 16 years old. She has said he's like her father. She has said he is a mentor to her. So that's number one. Like, that's, you shouldn't ever cross those lines to somebody that you had that relationship with, no matter how old they get.
So moving forward, his new nickname is R. Shaquille. That's what we refer to him
as. R. Shaqie. Yeah.
R. Shaqie.
So
that was so wrong.
So then on top of that, you add in the power dynamic that is at play. On that same podcast, he said, nobody else wanted to give you a signature shoe at Reebok. Just me. Mm-hmm. She said, I really appreciate you guys all for believing in me. And he goes, no, not us all. Me. And while you're at it, put on those booty shorts. That is so much under the surface. I can take your signature shoe away from you anytime I want, so I can say anything to you as a signature athlete anytime I want. The whole thing's gross, but that would not be as allowed to happen if the narrative that the WNBA was a charity case didn't exist. Do you see what I'm saying? WNBA was seen as a moneymaker, then you can't speak to athletes this way. Mm-hmm. You can't make these sort of recommendations about how garbage the sport is. And furthermore, when you boil it down and people are saying, oh, Trista, you're taking it too far, the whole concept of the why is the WNBA not making money? It's because people don't like it that much. And why do people not like it that much? Because people don't like women's basketball that much compared to men's. And why? Because women aren't as compelling. Women aren't as fast. Women aren't as strong. And so the sport really should just be happy for whatever they get. Just take anything. And that just like the more I'm in it, and you know, you guys know I love to talk smack and like tell jokes, but like that's BS. Mm-hmm. That's BS. Yeah, I don't like that.
You're spot on.
Make sure you check out TK's latest edition of the Heat Check podcast, wherever you get podcasts from. It's about 90 minutes. It is worth every second. You need to hear it. Again, the Heat Check podcast, wherever you get podcasts from. TK, we appreciate you as always, even when we're discussing serious subjects like this, which has happened like twice in all of these years. It's happened like twice. We'll come back with more. Steelo and KC here on ESPN 1320. Yo, man, tell them about Prize Picks.
Hey, man, shout out to my people over at Prize Picks. Last night, I had a nice little lineup that got me some. It was the lineup of Keegan Murray, more than 6 rebounds.
I believe you mean Keegan
Murray. He hit that. He had 8 rebounds on the night. I had Malik Monk, more than 1.5 three-pointers made. He got 3. I had Jalen Green, more than 17.5 points. He had 36, my goodness. And then I had Zach LaVine, more than 21 points. He had 30. The only one that didn't.
Yeah, Zach LaVine.
Yeah, he was doing his thing. The only one that didn't hit was Domas. I had him more than 19 points. He only had 16. But here's the great thing about Prize Picks. I still won a little something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That lineup with the flex play capability allowed me to still come out of that as a winner. Mm-hmm. So shout out to Prize Picks. What you need to do is you need to go download the app. Put in the promo code KIFM. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you get $50 instantly after your first $5 lineup. Once again, code KIFM to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup, man. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details. Later on today, I want to make sure I got it good for the people, but check out the socials at KingKC_916 on Twitter and Instagram. I'll have that Beam Money ready for y'all, man.
I'll get mine going down, man. I'll get mine. I'm not gonna call it that, but I'll get mine going too. Right when we get to 4 o'clock, I'll set my lineup for tonight.
Yeah.
We'll get back to the Sacramento Kings coming up here in just a few minutes. Kings and Jazz tonight in Utah. We'll take a look at the road trip. Of course, second night of a back to back. They got a couple of back to backs coming up, and then we'll talk to Jason Jones going out on a limb. And my brother might be in a good mood.
I got somewhere to go.
We'll talk to Jason Jones.
Somewhere I got to be at 3.
Last time the Yankees went down 3, I think it was 2022. Aaron Boone said that he would draw inspiration from the 04 Red Sox. So we'll see if he does that again.
How'd that go?
Yeah, what happened?
Didn't work.
Did they even win a game?
I don't remember. All I know is they didn't come back from 3-0.
Oh, man. Jeez. All right. Yeah, I got to go wash my hair at 3:20. Won't be able to be here.
Too bad you're not Kyle. You could just be like, man, I'm going to get another tattoo. Got a tattoo appointment.
I'm going to get the coffee.
Going to Tilo's house to get the coffee that he ordered for us 2 hours ago.
It was good, though. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that was great. $30 worth of coffee that Kyle had to go pick up at my house was significantly further than any Starbucks.
Wait, the killer was, didn't you pay for delivery?
I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it didn't even get
And
delivered.
I didn't even pay Kyle.
Damn, so that coffee, too, probably went from the closest Starbucks here to your house. That's a whole mission, bro. Do you have to reheat it?
No,
too?
I realize I screwed up, Jesse. No, thank you for that.
I'm just saying,
no,
bro.
I
like,
recognize the
did you really? Did you really think about it?
It was good, though. Look, man, I'm here, man. Come on now.
It's nice. I mean, who doesn't want a nice cup of room temperature coffee?
It's okay. The day's already going.
Worst part about that is, like, I was at Nugget this morning. Nugget's got a great coffee bar.
I never had it.
And I'm like,
I don't have a Nugget in my
bro, you don't need it. You don't need it. Just go back to the house. Mm. Then I filled up the Keurig with, I was like, just I'll make one here.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't. I got a delivery, packed up the delivery because it needed to come here, packed up my stuff, got in, wanted to go see Complex, walked towards the office, and could hear, oh, he's clearly on a meeting. So I came out, got the Club Malik stuff ready over at DeLoneKC.com, sat there like a dumbass doing nothing.
Oh, no.
Then came in here to do the handoff, and Kyle's like, hey, get your bitch ass out of here. KC's coming in here. And so I left and went out there and sat back on the couch.
You might just need to take a lap, bro.
Sat on the couch is hilarious.
I did.
I don't know why.
He was. I went out there to get a snack, and he was out there by himself. There. Yeah.
He's just sitting there.
I don't
there.
Know why, but sitting on the couch.
I went to sit in the end studio because I know it's quiet, but there's like wigs and costumes all over the place.
Hey, it always smells like baby powder in there, too, weirdly enough. Well, I don't know why, but it does.
Look, all I know... Kevin was changing clothes in there.
Maybe that's what it's because I go in there to give away tickets at the end of the day. Yeah, like, it always smells like baby powder. I don't get it.
Oh, man.
I don't know who. It's got to be Kevin. Kevin has to be the one using. I saw Kevin the other day. Kevin's like, man, I'm going to go grab some lunch. I'm going to Panda Express. It was like 10:30. I was like, what are you doing? Like, Kevin, it's 10:30. He was like, so what, bitch? I'm going to get Panda Express. There's already, he texts when he get there. There's already five people in line. F you. Like, all right. That show's different.
They're still serving breakfast but at places.
There were like wigs and costumes everywhere. I was like, I'm not sitting in here. So I went and sat my stupid ass on the couch.
D-Lo did the Grandpa Simpson when he walks into the bar and just walks back out.
That's pretty much it. Pretty much it.
You know what had some good breakfast? Well, their potato wedges are good. Is Wendy's. They're pretty good. Potato wedges fire.
Wendy's is always consistent.
I don't really like their sandwiches. The biscuits, too much, man. But the little potato wedges is fire.
You see the little trick that all the fast food places are doing now, too? McDonald's has the $10 medium meal now. Get a medium drink and a medium fry, and then you pick like a
and
Big Mac.
$10?
Salad. Yes. They're like, oh, yeah, now it's cheap again. Like, no, bro. I remember when this used to be like $8, $7.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because in fairness to McDonald's, I think they have a. They got it's either a $4 or a $6 meal.
They got a $5 one. Yeah, that's like the little. Yeah, it's like the kids' meal type stuff.
I get a double cheeseburger. It is a small fry and a small drink. I mean, you can do a little better than that. But, you know, just a little something real quick, hold you over until, you know, you get to the real food.
No, they're trying to charge me $10 for a medium meal. Like, oh, yeah, come here, Jess. Like, I know what you're doing.
So, wait a minute. You treat, like, fast food like it's a vending machine. Like, oh, it's just a snack until...
I mean, it depends on what I'm doing. I haven't done it in a while, but like I used to do it a lot.
Nobody breaks fast food down like this show. And this is a two-person show because I don't know what the hell you two are talking about.
Yeah. Like when I would train, right? Like I would work when I was working at the state. And then after that, I'd go train the kids. I'd drive over there. Maybe I'd get over there 20 minutes earlier. Oh, let me slide over here to McDonald's. Get me this little $5 meal to just hold me over until I get done, get home, and get a real dinner. That's what that is.
Okay.
Shout out In-N-Out. Still reasonably priced. Reasonably.
In-N-Out is bomb. Yeah, it's you fire. Like In-N-Out? You like In-N-Out.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had it in probably 12 years, 13 years. Okay. But when I did, yeah, it was fantastic.
In-N-Out is... That's number one.
That's facts.
I don't doubt it.
Don't ever tell me nothing about Whataburger. But speaking or whatever. Of...
Where you at, old
That's
Eric?
That's facts. We haven't had In-N-Out Friday in a while.
About 3-4 weeks.
He thinks just because Tuesday. What are you talking about?
Well, sometimes it's on Tuesday. We just call it In-N-Out Friday. Yeah, come on.
Go tell new Aaron that old Aaron has stopped bringing In-N-Out burgers. That man was working at two festivals every weekend. He was barely tolerable, and you want him to go get In-N-Out burgers.
Hey, matter of fact, this one needs to happen. Charlie, I know you're listening. Turn that up real quick.
Isn't Charlie right there?
No, he just walked in. Give it. We're on radio delay. About 10, give it 10 more seconds and then talk to Charlie.
And all I'll say is, man, In-N-Out is bomb.
10, 9, 8, 7.
There's people in here talking about habit. Habit is better than In-N-Out. No, it's not. No, it's no.
Stop.
The hell it's
yeah,
not.
No, stop.
Like, y'all got to stop with these crazy.
That's a bad
things,
habit.
Bro. Yeah, stop. And ain't nobody beating In-N-Out right now.
Wow, In-N-Out sure does sound good. I really wish we could have some here, huh?
In-N-Out is bomb.
Yeah,
In-N-Out is bomb, man.
Turn that sure up, sounds bro. Delicious.
Turn that up, dog. Turn that up.
Charlie, open Aaron's door if you're out there.
Or Charlie, just turn to Aaron and tell him that these two are begging for In-N-Out burgers. Just, hey, Tribal Chief, these two are begging for food.
We'll do a radio show.
You guys should see like Casey's side of the desk when like at like 6 o'clock. There are so many rappers.
Hey, now you're Ricky. It, man. Ricky. I stash mine in my Tupperware so they don't see.
I just be trying to make it, man. I just be trying to make it.
I work with a bunch of children, dude. I swear. Well, this didn't go the way that I planned. So let's go to commercial and start all over again. Stilo and KC here on ESPN 1320. We didn't discuss this Anthony Richardson situation yet, but this is one of the stranger things that I can remember happening in the NFL. The Colts, they said they haven't given up on Anthony Richardson. They're just giving him a break. Joe Flacco will start for the Indianapolis Colts, and Anthony Richardson will not. Of course, Anthony Richardson did something I don't know that we've ever seen a quarterback do in the NFL. I certainly can't think of a time that we ever saw a quarterback do it in the NFL. But he asked out. He asked out for a play in a goal line situation or a goal-to-go situation. And when asked about it after the game, I think this is a quote. He said, I can't lie, I was tired.
Exhausted, I think.
Exhausted, sorry. I can't lie, I was exhausted. So I know a number of players who are now analysts, and maybe players in general have a feeling about that. And like, okay, like I understand. I don't understand how this is helping the Colts though, or Anthony Richardson or anybody.
There's so many things about this situation that I just don't know. I don't know what you do. If you're the Colts, I understand this may not be helping anything, but I'm not saying I'm necessarily here, but there is a train of thought that, oh, yeah, we're out on this guy.
Well, so that's
like,
there's
a lot there. I think that was more, and I don't want to label him this way, but that was more than just being physically tired. Physically exhausted. He can't handle this.
Well, so that's the other thing. The numbers aren't good. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing like he does, or excuse me, when you're playing like he is, you might remove the, all right, let's work through this. What do we got to do? I mean, he's throwing more interceptions than touchdowns. He's completing less than 50% of his passes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the Colts are good. Colts aren't that bad. They're not that. And yeah, like there might be a lot of we're out.
Yeah,
at least for now.
I'd be out. He quit on them. You can't be doing that. You can't take a playoff as a quarterback.
I've never seen that.
I don't think I have either.
Like they were thank Damian Woody was saying on NFL Live or whatever. Like you come back to the huddle after that. Like say you're driving us down like the field or whatever. Like you need our all, but it's like you quit on us already.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know how you come back from that. And that, to me, it says more about your mental and your emotional state than what you can do physically or anything like that. Like, this all may be just too much for you. You checked out.
He's not like someone who played a crazy amount in college either. Like, he was always right. A project, so it's like, yeah. Maybe it's not for you.
And it's going to be one of those things where maybe like a Geno Smith or something like that. It takes you two or three stops, and then you kind of get it. But I think the time in Indiana might be done.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's tough. That is brutal.
Never heard of that.
Anthony Richardson taking number 4 overall.
And I'd like to know the sequence leading up to when he asked out, because I don't understand how tired you could be, how exhausted you could be in that situation as the quarterback. Like, it's not like like a wide receiver, like running a
sprinting
go route
down the field, yeah.
Sprint, didn't get the ball. Oh, I got to come back. Oh, we run the same play again. Didn't get the ball. Well, I'm coming back. Like, I'm tired at that point. Like, what? Once again, I don't know the play sequence. Maybe he had just ran three times for
the.
I don't know.
The play right before that, he basically ran both sides of the field trying to scramble and all that. He took a couple of hits. Like, he did. Like, it was a long play. Like, yeah, you probably were tired after this play and all. I don't know if it was just that play, but, like, yeah, I can see that. But, like, you can't ask out after that no matter what.
I'm going to point out two things.
Call a run play.
Something.
The Colts were in position to win that game, right? Anthony Richardson was 10 of 32 in that game.
So
think about, and I guess I'm to a certain degree trying to be sympathetic, but think about you're in a position to win this game. It's the Texans. We highlighted that was a huge game. Mm-hmm. It was a really, I don't think the Colts are anything. I don't think the Colts are in the Texans league, but they played that game well, and they had a chance to kind of reshape what that division looked like. Mm-hmm. We think about the physical impact of running back and forth or running or the wide receiver or whatever. We think about the physical toll. But when you're tasked with leading a game-winning drive, what's your heart doing?
It's racing.
Yeah. So it goes back to a line that you used, whether inadvertently or otherwise. He might not be cut out for this. Mm. Or he might not know how to deal with that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. He might not have that fourth quarter Fox, DeRozan, you know, ice water running through his veins. Mm-hmm. That could be boiling. And that man's heart is racing. He's sweating. And I don't know. I want to don't say maybe the brother was having like a little moment, but it could be a lot more than what was physically going on. I'd argue he might have been better off saying that in the mm-hmm. post-game press conference than just saying he was tired. Mm-hmm. But he would have gotten beat up for that too, to be honest. They would have said the same thing. You're not cut out for this. We've got to find someone else to lead the franchise. It could have been a million different things.
Well, the interesting thing about that too is that, I don't want to put that label on him for this one moment, but this wasn't the first close game he's ever been in. You know what sure. I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's been in college and in the NFL. Like, he's been in games, oh, we're trailing. We need to, no timeouts. We need to push the ball down the field. Like, he's been in these situations before. Mm-hmm. And maybe he failed or maybe he was successful to a certain degree. But this wasn't the first
time. He's won close games this year.
Yeah, it's not the first time he's been in this situation. So that's why I look at it as it could have been just a moment that overwhelmed him. And that's what it was. But the unfortunate thing is, in this business, that one moment can define you forever.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Did you know there was a football game last night?
I did. I stayed away from it on purpose.
You did?
Live, at least. I went back and watched a good chunk of it after the Kings game.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
I didn't watch a lot, but I saw what was going on. I can't remember.
Speeding through the condensed version.
What was that? A 2-point conversion where they just let the one guy go through like the whole offensive line?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, so what's the boys' record? 1-15 now?
Yeah, 1-15 in primetime games.
Danny Dimes, boy. Oh, they wanted to love him so bad in the Big Apple.
Woo.
That ain't the story.
Fakest playoff season of all
time. That ain't the story.
Speaking of the Big Apple, you see what happened to them yesterday? First time ever. New York City.
Happened to the whole city?
Yeah, first time ever they lost, that any city has lost basketball, baseball, football, and soccer game in the same day.
Well, congratulations to New York City. You certainly lost the night before at Madison Square Garden. But the story's the Steelers.
Stealing Russell Wilson.
The story is the 6-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. Anybody in?
They're legit.
Mike Tomlin is unbelievable.
Mike Tomlin can coach. Russell Wilson makes that offense look a lot better than the offense runs better now with Russell Wilson. I think
it does.
Flows better now.
He's a better quarterback.
Does
he's more equipped to handle this situation than Justin Fields. And they're for real team. They're for real threat.
Really, yeah, John Paul's defense is really good. That's a Super Bowl defense.
Man, that's really impressive.
It reminds me, I hate to bring the mood down a little bit, but did you see?
Was the mood up?
Up-ish. Did you see Brandon Ayuk's video?
I didn't.
I was sad. I think he does like a normal video or a podcast. I'm not exactly sure, but if he does, he started it off by like giving an update. And he just felt for the guy, man.
Like, oh, sure.
Torn ACL, torn MCL, partial tear of the meniscus. And I don't know how he comes back from this and is.
Oh, he can come back.
No, he'll play.
Oh.
But I don't know how he comes back from this and is Brandon Ayuk that we know.
What's he, 26?
Yeah.
He's all right. He's all right.
I hope so. I hope he comes back and he can be. I think what he's going to have to do.
He's got a lot of time to recover.
That is major damage on that knee. He's got to come back and kind of morph into a different type of receiver. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what's going to be best for him. But I don't.
Did he get hit? I can't remember how that happened. It wasn't no non-contact, right? Did he got
kind of got high load?
Stuck
in the ground. And the knee went in. So he's. I don't expect him to, in no way, get back to where he was before this. I just think he's going to have to, just kind of have to figure out how to be an impact type of receiver. Now with the limitations that he has. And I'm rooting for him for sure. But that was tough to see, man. That was tough, man.
Did you see there was a nasty one in the NBA last night?
Yeah, okay, yes. And
it does not need to be put on Twitter.
No, why? Why?
Because
especially if you're not a news outlet. Like, I can understand a news outlet. The
news outlets wouldn't do it.
Well, I think I saw not news. I think Complex Sports.
Yeah, it's not
had news. It out there.
Yeah, that's awful.
But that just awful. Regular Joe. Oh man, look at this. Why would you retweet that? Why would you put that video back out there?
Yeah. That was bad. Bad.
Yeah.
Well, thoughts and prayers to Brandon Ayuk. Hopefully I absolutely think he can return. And big ups to the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. That's a 6-2 football team right there.
Mm-hmm.
They are legit. Mike Tomlin is just a toot is incredible. Mike Tomlin is absolutely incredible.
Hell of a coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Houston, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Washington, they're all 6-2.
Stephon Diggs,
ACL, out for the year, too.
Man. So now.
Stephon, I think, was non-contact.
Yeah, it was
non-contact. That was the one that was non-contact.
And I think Nico has one more week, but I don't know. It could be a couple of weeks. Now you're going to be going out there without Nico and Stephon Diggs. And who knows how Nico's going to be, you know, how long it's going to take him to get back to feeling comfortable out there on the field. So, man, injuries. That's why I don't like football.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Jason Jones set to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. We appreciate you for joining us. Wherever you at, listening to D'Lo and Casey. KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM, KRX, QHD2 Sacramento. ESPN 1320, always live on the free Odyssey app.